This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll focus our attention on a portion of the gospel for Easter, recorded for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. This is the word of our Lord. We pray, Lord, thank you for the celebration you give us this day. May we go to the tomb as well and see there your resurrection. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, celebrating the resurrection of our Savior Jesus. About 2 weeks ago, the sun was shining. The temperature was in the 60s. And oh, the people were out. Walking on Main Street, you saw families and people walking their dogs and joggers and bikers and everybody going back and forth. The bike path, which was in the opposite direction, oh, that was busy too. Everything from strollers to skateboards to inline skates to bikes to people walking. A lot of people were out because it was the first warm day. It was the first time for everyone to get out because everyone had been under quarantine. At least felt that way. Can't go anywhere, couldn't do anything, could only be with your friends, your close friends and family. But now people had opportunity to be outside. And boy, did they take that opportunity. And it was joyful because, well, it seems like maybe the fears of the past year are kind of dissipating a little bit. Not that they're gone, by the way, but the fact that seeing people are getting more comfortable. They don't like being cooped up. No one liked to be quarantined. And yet I would submit to you that the quarantines that we went through over the past year were nothing compared to the one-day quarantine that was on the disciples. A self-induced quarantine. They had witnessed the atrocities of Good Friday. They had seen their Savior, their Lord, their teacher, their master. They saw him die. And they watched from a distance as he was laid in a tomb as his final resting place. Oh, they knew. They knew all that had transpired, and they knew it all too well. Can you imagine that Sabbath? Can you imagine being with them as they rehearsed everything in their mind? What could we have done differently? What could we have had that or done to help Jesus in any way? Oh my, that had to be a hard day. It had to be a hard day so that come the morning, well, they were going to maybe finish up what they hadn't finished before, what they weren't privy to before when the burial of Jesus. And so early, at dawn, sun wasn't even fully up, women went to the tomb. They looked inside quickly, because they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Mary just right away made a decision. She came to her own conclusion. They had stolen the body of Jesus. And so she ran back and told Peter and John. And then we hear of what they do. They take the information, and they are, we told, ran and started for the tomb. They were going to break their quarantine. They were going to break that private part. They were going to see what was taking place. And you know what? Wouldn't that be a good thing for us this day? To run to the tomb? To run to the tomb to see the evidence of the resurrection and then to ponder the miracle of life given to us in our risen Savior Jesus. Yes, as we consider this gospel, there's a lot to think about when we see that Mary came back and said, they stole the body. They stole Jesus. Do you ever wonder, who are the they? Did they know that there was a seal put on the tomb? Had they known about the Roman guard? That was kind of done after the fact, after the burial, after they had all left. Who is the they? Who would have hated somebody so much to steal a body right out of the grave? Because, you know, it was a capital crime to be a grave robber, to steal out of graves. And so who would have risked that? Who are the they? Who are the they she's accusing of right away? And she's lost and befuddled and doesn't have an answer. Of course, neither do Peter and John. What was their response? Well, they ran to the tomb to check it out for themselves, didn't they? They ran to the tomb to see if what she was saying was true. Had they really ever listened to Jesus carefully? He had told them a number of times that he would go to Jerusalem. There he would suffer at the hands of the leaders. There he would be crucified. There he would die. But on the third day he would rise again. That was even an accusation raised against Jesus before the Sanhedrin. He said, "And destroy this temple, and in 3 days it'll come up again." Not knowing it was talking about his own body. They accused him of this. So they should have been there. I submit that Peter and John and the disciples should have been waiting outside the tomb, because Jesus had promised on the third day he would rise. But they had seen him die. And that fact, that vision, probably etched in their mind for a lifetime, was what they put their faith in. That's what they believed happened. So we're told that Peter and John began and they ran. Now, it would appear that John wins the race of running. There might be a couple of reasons for that. Not that it really matters to the whole resurrection account, but John would have probably been younger. That might have been enough right there. But you might want to wonder sometimes if Peter maybe wasn't wondering about Thursday night yet, when a little servant girl all but brought him to a knees as he cursed and swore and said he didn't know the man that was on trial in there, when he denied his Savior just as Jesus had told him he would. So the two of them ran. And when they come to the tomb, John is hesitant to go in. He takes a quick look in. The tombs were designed in certain ways. Depending on the type of tomb, this one we know was carved out, so this was not a natural cave. It was a man-made tomb. And they would have an entry area where you might sit to mourn and think about your past loved one. And then there was another, shall we say, small room off to the side where the bodies would be laid. And they would stay there until a certain time came when, well, the bones that remained would be put into an ossuary, a box, so that they might remain there till eternity. John just looked in. Peter wasn't that way. When he finally got there, maybe trying to catch his breath, he went right in. And he looked. And what did he see? They didn't see Jesus. They saw the linens that were wrapped around him. But they weren't linens that were just quickly ripped off and thrown in a pile. No, the face cloth and things that had wrapped the head, that was folded neatly apart from the rest. And we have to remember that these cloths were wrapped around the body so that the arms were kept close. In between each, remember all the spices and things that were brought in to wrap in between the various cloths? And we're just told they were there, as if the body had disappeared from them and come down. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and he came out of the tomb? What did Jesus say? Take off the grave clothes. Lazarus couldn't do it himself. And that's what they see. They see this. And now they have to think about this for a little while. What does all this mean? Well, it would mean he wasn't stolen, because if you're going to commit a capital crime, you're not going to hang around. You're going to just take the body and run. That didn't happen. Oh, no. Something special happened. A miracle happened. And we notice that when John goes in, he looks. He sees the cloth lying there. And he not only saw it, but believed. He believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. He believed that Jesus had kept his promises. The promises he kept repeating to them over and over again. The promises that he was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. The promises that even though all these things would happen to him, he would rise again so that death, that payment for sin would be paid in full and we no longer would have to fear it. Death, where is your sting? The Apostle Paul wrote, right? No. John goes in and he believes. And then they went back to where they were staying. Interesting account here, isn't it? We need to run to that tomb as well. With all the things that hurt us, with all the things that dismay us, with all the things that cause us to doubt, with all the things that come to our life and really ask us and make us question even God's power and his ability to watch over us. Let's run to the tomb. Let's run to the tomb and there see the fulfillment of God's promise. There see the fulfillment of your salvation and mine. See the cloths just there. No one stole them. No one ripped them off. No one cut them off. They were there because Jesus Christ was alive. The tomb was empty. That's a gift for you and me. Because what we need to do, we not only need to go and run to the tomb and see the evidence for ourselves. Like John, we need to see it and believe the love of Jesus Christ for you and me. The love of Jesus Christ, which lifts the quarantine of sin, the quarantine that Satan puts upon us, the quarantine that would keep us out of glory. And see that Christ gives to you and me the freedom to love, to live, to trust, and to know him for eternity. They went back to their homes, we're told. We're not told what they thought about, but we're told that they just went back to where they were staying. Pondering that, maybe. Maybe sharing with the other disciples as they would be meeting behind locked doors that night that there was something special here. Peter, we're told, did get to see Jesus after his resurrection. The disciples that night behind locked doors would see the risen Savior. The women who went out to the tomb got to see the risen Savior. These were no visions. These were no illusions for the people to take on who were sharing grief. No, the risen Savior was there. And even though Satan thought he had won on Good Friday, even though he thought he had defeated the Lord of life, Jesus was alive. We celebrate Easter alive, gathering together to worship our risen Savior. We have that comfort and assurance. Our sins, great and small, past and present and future, are all paid for in full. When Jesus declared, "It is finished," the full price for your sins and mine was paid in full. And that price guaranteed for us. We always look for guarantees, don't we? You buy a product, you purchase something or other, and what happens? We look for a guarantee. That means that we're not going to be out anything if the thing breaks of its own accord, if it's not put together well. Christ gave us a guarantee. The tomb, we run to it. We look. It's empty. The cloths are there to prove. There's no body here. Everything's folded in neatly. God lives. Our Savior lives. And he has taken us out of the quarantine that separated us from God and brought us as his brothers and sisters to life everlasting. Much of the fear that has gone through our nation and the world over the past year is the fear of death and dying. And truly, we've never been there, right? And we fear that time until we look in the empty tomb. And we see not our dead Savior, but we know that Jesus Christ is alive. And because he lives, you and I will also live. That's God's promise to us. The suffering of hell is gone. That's been paid for in full. It is finished, he declared. And the empty tomb also guarantees that what he did for us is pleasing to God, the Heavenly Father, and perfect salvation for you and me. You see, that's why when it comes to Easter, we celebrate. We celebrate this, and not just on an occasion, one day. Oh, no, this is a celebration for life. This is a celebration that each day we take a look at one another and we say, there is one who is loved by God. There is one who is loved by God. Even when there are divisions and even when we don't get along with one another, there are people loved by God because he gave the ultimate price and he rose from the dead, assuring us all that the price of sin was paid for in full. Oh, he's alive. The disciples ran to the tomb. I hope it was for excitement, to make sure that it really happened. I hope it was at the time that they were so excited that they should have been there themselves, but now they got to get there as fast as they can. We need to run to Jesus too. He is alive, there to meet our every need. He promised to prepare a place for us that where he is, we also will be. That's a promise he will also keep. That's a promise he keeps for you and for me and for all who go into the tomb and see that Jesus Christ is alive. My dear Christian friends, you know, there's a hymn that is usually sung in Lent, and it's sung on Good Friday a lot of times. It's Go to Dark Gethsemane. And when you sing that hymn, you have a number of things that you look at. You go to Dark Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed fervently, Father, if there's any other way, please remove this from me, but your will be done. Then the next verse will take you to the judgment hall where he would be condemned of blasphemy because they said, you said you're the Son of God, which he was, the Savior of all. Where they would condemn him saying that, oh yes, he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again, which was his body, which he promised to do, and which they feared. That's the reason they put the guard and the seal on the tomb, remember? And then the next verse will talk about going to Calvary, going to that hill, place of the skull, and watch him as he would hang between heaven and earth, as he would hang there between two criminals, guilty of crimes worthy of crucifixion by Roman law. And there the innocent Son of God would reach out, forgiving those who persecuted him and were killing him, taking care of his mother, taking care of all that were there, crying out, it is finished. And then, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There on Calvary, we see God's love. But then the last verse, which really doesn't fit on Good Friday, it really fits today on Easter. The verse reads, early hastened to the tomb, where they laid his lifeless clay, all his solitude and gloom. Who has taken him away? Christ is risen. He meets our eyes. Oh, Savior, teach us so to rise. Yeah, let's hasten to the tomb, my friends. Let's run with anticipation and excitement to see it's true. Jesus, your Lord, died for you and rose again. And because his tomb was empty, so will our graves be empty when he comes again in glory. Death is not to be feared. Death is but a time to go to glory. We've had loved ones go to glory over this past year. We have loved ones and family members who have made that crossing into the presence of Jesus Christ. And we rejoice because we don't bid them farewell forever, but nothing more than see you later, in the presence of the risen, living Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's run to the tomb. Let's run there daily to get our assurance that Jesus Christ is alive for you and for me. That's a fact. It's all we need to know. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith in your risen Savior, Jesus Christ, till we stand with him confidently in glory everlasting. Amen.